Well, welcome to our guest service today, guys. And this isn't always a conventional service, but so you're not going to have to hear Robin speak for half an hour or 45 minutes. But today we've got stories from other people, and we're really looking forward to listening to those stories. Isn't it amazing how we kind of we relate to stories from other people, don't we? So I'm going to invite my friend Josephine up. Josephine, I've got here. And Luma, I know you've just got your stall back, but can I have that stall as well? Thank you. That'd be fabulous. So Josephine's got a little bit of a story today, and I'm going to help her by maybe asking some questions. So I first heard of Josephine, actually. I had a phone call from her mother to say that it's a very shy 18-year-old.
Did she say that?
No, she didn't say that. But she said was moving down to Redditch from Richmond. And I was thinking to myself, why would anybody want to move to Redditch when they live in such a nice neighbourhood up north?
Yeah, North Yorkshire.
I think she's going to tell you a little bit about that in her story today. But Josephine has come, she's come to this church, and she's been a really active member of the church. She gets involved with the youth, with young adults, and the best thing is that she is just so good relationally with other people. And I just want to say thank you for that, Josephine, that's really appreciative. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe even your age? How old are you?
I'm 19. Yeah, and I moved last August, so like nearly a year ago. And the reason for moving to Redditch was because I got a job here. So I'm doing a degree apprenticeship in packaging design and technology. And the company I work for makes cardboard boxes. I won't get bored. When I think about me when I was younger and what I wanted to do, this job actually fulfills quite a lot of those hopes that I had. So that's just one way God's blessed me through my job. So before coming to Redditch, like, I am from a Christian family. I've like grown up in church. I'd made a decision to follow God. I'd been baptized. But I don't think I was very spiritually mature before coming here because I'd not had the opportunity to step out in faith and grow that for myself. And obviously, the biggest thing I did was moving out to start this job. And so that was my first step of faith. And I really saw God's provision in that.
So Josephine, you lived with me for a few weeks before we found somewhere for you to rent.
Yeah.
And you're renting a place, and you had a flatmate, and now the flatmate's changed.
Yeah.
So there's more change again happening.
Loads of adult-y stuff to sort out.
But actually, it all worked out quite well, hasn't it?
Yeah. It all just seemed to fit into place, and that's how I know that God was in it, and that He wants me to be down here. So it was quite a big thing moving away. Loads of things to get used to, but I've definitely been blessed by people, and specifically this church. I have grown my faith massively, and I believe that's because of this, the discipleship that I've had through people and through Josh. I've had people encouraging me to step up and step up for other people as well. And now I have this desire to want to serve and honour God with my life. To say.
So when you were at church before you moved down to Redditch, what was church life for you when you were you actively involved in the church? Did you just attend? Did you enjoy the worship? Did you not enjoy the worship? How was life before you came here?
Say I was a consumer. So I went to a Pentecostal church, so they had flashy lights and loud music, and I just sort of turned up with my family every week, and then we went home straight after, and that was it for me. I tried to read my Bible in the week, but it just wasn't it wasn't as real to me. Like, I knew about God and I knew that he was real, but I didn't have the same desire to pursue God. So when I came here, like, I just felt this church was so much more authentic and people actually have a heart for serving Jesus. And that just, yeah, encouraged me again.
So there's been, I'm going off script here, is that all right?
Yeah.
There's been a few lifestyle changes for you. So first of all, learning to cook more for yourself. It's been one of those
never
things.
Never cooked before, so.
So since you come here, you've started doing, you did couch to 5K, is that what you've been doing?
Yeah, started running.
Okay, and you're still doing that?
Less so, but I managed it. I managed a 5K.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about your desire to read the Bible more and to press into that. And where's that come from?
I think the closer I get to God or the more I start to understand about him, then it becomes this natural sort of response that I want to spend more time to him, I guess it used to be sort of like, oh, I should read my Bible because that's what you have to do. But now it's, I want to read my Bible because I want to learn more about God, and like, he is so worthy of our praise, and like, he deserves the time that I give to him.
And is it when you press in with God now, you have more of a hunger for it, but when you've had a gap and you've not been pressing in, is it harder to get back in it?
Like, I definitely notice when I'm not spending time with God, like, I notice the effect. Like, if I'm busy or if I just can't be bothered, like, I find myself getting into the cycle of, just getting a bit tired and a bit low, and God does bring peace and strength, and that's what I've found.
So the other thing that you've been involved in more is actually being more involved actually in the church and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What was the initial thing to kind of that you wanted to do that? Was it just because Robin or I asked you to do it, or was it because there was you wanted to do it? And I guess what have you learned from that?
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
So at my other church, like, I never served at all. I didn't see the point of it because I was like, oh, there's so many people, they can just crack on. But like, when I grew my faith, when I started to understand about how big God is, then I want to honour him with my whole life, and I want to serve him in the church. And like, I have learned so much and like challenged myself by helping at youth, or just like giving my testimony now, like, I wouldn't have done this a year ago, but I think these things really help to grow your confidence as well and your faith.
And in our young adults group as well, you've run a Bible study before as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Was that the first time you've done that?
Yeah, it was the first Bible study I've done.
So you stayed up all night preparing for that one, didn't you, aren't you?
Before. I actually couldn't sleep, so I was like, I'll just write it now.
But so one of the things that we've been doing in our young adults is that we're doing a different course at the moment, but actually, rather than the lead person being the person that runs the Bible study, we might get somebody else from the group to run the Bible study, because actually one of the things is, when you start actually actively getting involved, there's a little bit inside you where you're like, oh, I've got to step up and I've got to know your stuff. But it's a bit more authentic as well, you know. We don't want to just leave it to the theologians to have conversations about God. You know, you're always learning about God. You can never be too young. But actually, when we step out and we start chatting about our faith, and just, it could be something like, you know, we open a Bible and go, do you know what? I'm leading the Bible study, but I've read this and I don't even understand it today. Do you know, that is a great conversation for us to have with people. So Josephine's been part of that group, and I've been really blessed by seeing Josephine step up. Do you know, on youth on a Friday, the other girls, I see them following Josephine around, but that just seems to happen naturally as she's been stepping up, and I don't have to ask her to do things, she just gets on and does it, and it's been a real blessing. So I just want to say thank you for that as well, Josephine.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anything else you wanted to share?
I guess following on from your point, I always thought that I wasn't good enough at explaining things to people. And so I was like, I'm never going to be able to answer anyone's questions about Christianity. But like, I've had that opportunity recently. And yeah, out of that came a decision for them to follow Christ. And so like, it's just so worth it. And there are people who benefit from what you do.
Yeah. I think very easily we can feel like we can't add to things or we can't be valued. But, you know, just by doing little steps of faith and just acting out, that can really make a difference to the lives of other people around us. One of the things that Josephine, I also love about Josephine, she's reliable. You know, she's occasionally a few minutes late to our youth meetings, but she's really reliable. And every week she comes, she sets up the communion for us. And, you know, having those reliable people week in, week out is what kind of makes church, doesn't it? And it's just a great environment to be in. So anything else you want to share?
No, I think that's
brilliant. Okay. So
I love to sing. I'm going to invite Lee and Bev to come and join me. But let me quickly tell you a quick testimony of mine. Come on up, guys. That's great. When I was 3, I was deaf and progressively got worse. I've shared it. Coming up this way, guys. And when you've got something and you lose it, you don't know what you've got until you've lost it. Do you know that? So they prayed for me in church. And guess what? A miracle happened. Prayed, something happened. You know, when you don't pray, things don't happen, but when you pray, things happen. The next morning, my hearing was perfect. And so, that's why I love to sing. And if you come and join our church, you'll hear me sing. Out of tune sometimes, but it doesn't matter. Great, it's my privilege today to welcome, this is Lee, and this is Bev. You've heard of Peter's as Lee, haven't you? This is Bev and Lee. And do you want to stand or sit on stools? You can sit. Yep, sit on the floor. Okay. There we are. That's one for you, young lady. When I saw Lee today, he said that we can introduce his dad and son. So this is my dad. And I've had the privilege of knowing them for quite a while now. Been a real blessing to know them. They've been on some journeys with God together. We're going to share part of that journey. And when I first met Lee, he was into cars. Still probably is into cars.
Lovely cars.
Yeah, he loved his cars. And apparently he won at go-karting. So there is a challenge, Josh. Josh normally wins at go-karting. Go-kart challenge. May the best man win. So you were both Christians when I met you, over 25 years ago. And you were married before.
I was.
You had 3 children.
I did.
And then we're going to pick up the story for you getting married. Have a little girl called Faith. And if you want to just tell us why you called your little girl Faith, and then we'll continue with the story. Thank you.
It was obviously when we found out that Bev was pregnant, as you do, you go through boys' names and girls' names. We had a few, but none just really sat with us, even through all the pregnancy. To the moment she was born, we just didn't have a name for her because nothing just seemed to fit, did it? And I was in one room and Bev was in another, and obviously Faith was a couple of days old, maybe a week old or something like that. And it was the strangest thing. We both almost said it at the same time, and we're in different rooms. I know what we should call her daughter now. And we both just said Faith. Faith after... because of our belief in Jesus Christ, it is because of our faith as being a Christian that we just thought that, you know, she is a gift. She was a gift. She will always be a gift. And it was the perfect name, wasn't it?
Yes, Faith is born at home. So it was my first home birth. She was a little treasure, but she wasn't planned. She was a gift. God knows is what we need, doesn't he? And but because of my past, I've had a broken marriage, and to step into a new marriage, you know, God gave us that calling to marry. There was a lot of fear there, And I was thinking, oh, am I going to be a single mom again? I was a single mom for 5 years. And I was full of fear. And I just thought, I don't know, this is going to be all right. But when she came, she was just so beautiful. I mean, she was tiny. She was my smallest little one. And he was just full of overwhelming, oozing love for her, weren't you? And I just sat there in this other room, and it just came. And he had the same, and we just said, it's faith, because it's faith to believe. It's faith to believe that, you know, we had our Jesus. It takes faith to believe on Jesus. But it also takes faith to believe that life is going to be okay after you've been through so much as well. So that's why we call it a faith.
Lovely. You know, sometimes when we Christians, just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean to say life's easy. And if you've had an easy life when you followed Jesus, tell us the key.
Please.
The difference is we have somebody that walks with us through every circumstance.
Amen.
So, little girl, Faith, beautiful girl, remember her well. Beautiful eyes. Tell us what happened when Faith was diagnosed with cancer.
We had an animal park, and she loved to go there. So this was over in Evesham, had over 250 animals. So Faith was their little helper. She used to go around this animal park. And one day she just had a fall, but she fell strangely. She just fell on her face. There was no tripping, there was nothing. I thought, that's strange. But she came through that, like she was fine. There was no sickness or anything. But we monitored her. And then a couple of days after, I don't know how long it was, to be honest, maybe a couple of weeks, but she started to walk funny. And she'd had a headache the day before, the night before, that I couldn't put my finger on. And I just said to Lee, I think we need to get her checked out. She went to nursery, and I said to the nursery, just look at her and see what you're saying. They said, well, yeah, there is something. She just wants to sit down. So we did take her to the GP, took her back the next day because they couldn't find anything massive. But they said, you know, if you come back twice, she's a child, we're just going to refer you. I worked in the hospital, so I knew all the paediatric team. So they just kind of fast-tracked her.
The thing was, she started, we know now, obviously, she started walking what is called with a wide gait. So, you know, as we would walk normally, she's now started to walk with her legs, trying to balance herself out, not knowing what was going on. But we took her to one of the first doctors, and they just said, give her paracetamol, Calpol, whatever it is, and monitor for 24 hours. And I wasn't happy with that anyway. And I said, I'm not happy with that. It's just more than that. You know, you've got something in your spirit, haven't you? You just know. And I said, I want another doctor. And so then on the same day, you know, within an hour or so, we saw another female doctor. As soon as Faith walked in the room with this doctor, she went, we got to get her to the children's. She obviously knew, you know. And the hell on earth journey started from there, really. That same day, we had to take her to the children's. So this doctor absolutely knew what was going on, didn't she?
Yeah, the consultant down at the Alex, he got her through for an MRI scan, and there was a mass. And your heart sinks. So we fast-tracked up to Birmingham, weren't we? Birmingham Children's. They did exactly the same tests, but they came back. And they thought it was an astrocytoma at first, which is a brain tumour that you can kind of live with. You can even leave a little bit in. So they all the characteristics of it was looking hopeful. But then when the results came back, it was an ependymoma, which is an excessively aggressive tumour, and they had to completely excise it all. And she'd already been in for one operation, so they called her straight back. It was like being on a roller coaster, wasn't it?
It really was. The thing was, you know, anybody, you willed. Just comes to an end. You don't even know how to breathe when you've been given that information that your daughter's got a tumour on the back of her head at the size of a tennis ball. And so they have the first operation. She had the first operation. She had four in the end. She had the first operation. And the doctor, they send the mass straight down to wherever the lab, wherever it's got to go. And the doctor's sidekick came up and said, it's a benign stage four, which is, if you're going to have a brain tumour, that's the best one to have. I don't know how else to say it. Half an hour later, the same person came up and said, we've got it wrong. It's a rare aggressive pneumonia. So, you know, the world is kind of given back to us a little bit, and then it was just stolen. I mean, the feelings were just off the scale, weren't they? I just didn't know how to breathe. I was looking out the window thinking the only thing I want to do is jump. That was my feelings that I was having. I just didn't know how to cope with the information. What a wicked feeling it was, wasn't it? I just...
Yeah, it was. We didn't really breathe until we got home. So after the second operation, they wanted her to go straight into radiotherapy. It was 6 weeks intensive course every day for 6 weeks. And he got us home and he said, no, we're going on holiday. I'm going to take my wife and my daughter on holiday and we'll deal with it when we get back. The consultant was a little bit... but it was the best thing we could have ever done for her. She was in a state of recovery, and when we got her on holiday, that's when we could then start to look at our faith and look at our little daughter faith, but also our faith in God. Where are you? What's going on? We don't, you know, it was just traumatic. But for me, I just fell on, you know, where the scripture says that if you don't fall on the rock will fall on you. So I just fell on the rock. I fell on Jesus and said, God, you got to help me. I cannot get up every single day and think my daughter's going to die. I can't do that. I cannot live like that. And he gave me a scripture in the Psalms where he talks about death is a snare, but life is like a fountain. It's like a fountain of life. And it just turned the whole negative way that the hospital were looking at it into something that breathed life into me. And I thought, that is it. That's my Jesus. He gave me life. I'm going to get up every single day and we're going to live. She's got breath in her body and we're going to live. And that stood me in good stead, because when you come and people have got, you know, all they can see is the sadness in it all. The you know, faith sometimes would have visual looks because you could see the scar. And it's just like, no. You know, she lives, she's God's, and she had a love for Jesus that was beyond anything I knew. She was a little girl that would get up, she would love her Jesus, she would sing, she would dance, she would praise beyond anything. And I thought, God, if I can live my life like that in Jesus every single day, I'm going to do that. And that's what she taught me.
Do you know, I've just had a memory. Esther and I came to visit you at the hospital. I don't know if you remember that. You had so many people. But I remember you were holding Ellie. And then she looked at me and she put her arms out and you gave her and I held her in my arms. I remember that time. That was one of the memories I remember of that little girl. I remember you just handing her over and we prayed together at that time. We were really believing that God would heal her. We were really holding on to the fact that God would do a miracle. But the miracle didn't work in the way we thought it was.
Absolutely.
She went to be with Jesus. terrible time for you. Most people would not experience that. Never experienced, but you have. Tell us, unless you want to add something else, tell us, how did life change in that journey? What did it mean for you on your Christian walk? How did you cope in life?
To cope is not a human thing. To cope is because we had Jesus in us. To cope was because we had the Holy Spirit in us, guiding us. You know, I think in all our lives, in all of your lives as a Christian, you will have the footprints, you know, the footprint story. And
Not everybody will know that, Luke.
Okay, sorry. A footprint story is a picture and a poem, really, about how somebody's walking in life, gone through an amazing, hard time, and and then at the point of the poem, only when Jesus knows you can cope does he put you back down. And when you turn around and see behind you, how have you come this far? And there's only one set of footprints. It's because Jesus has carried you through the hard time. And so when you look back and there's only one set of footprints, it's because the Lord has carried you through an impossible moment, you know, in life. So, what was the question you asked me anyway? How did I cope? Yeah, obviously with the Lord. And how my life changed for me. I haven't really got time on this stage right now to tell you the stories that would just blow your mind, and I mean blow your mind, to the point where you'd think, if Jesus wasn't in it, it's an impossibility, of how I saw Jesus move through my life while watching my daughter in a coma, a three-day coma, albeit she wasn't coming round. And yet, while I'm watching my daughter suffer, and had major operations, the Lord asked me to take my eyes off my own daughter. I mean, and go and pray for two of the sick children that was in the ward. I mean, I need a lot of time, man, to give the story justice, but it was amazing when, if you can take your eyes off your own situation, you know she belongs to Jesus. She was our child and she was the perfect gift we had for 6 years, but she wasn't ours, and I don't mean that in a weird way. She belonged to Jesus. She's beat me to her eternal home, you know. I should tell her off when I get there. But I cannot, out of, you know, God turns everything for his good, turns everything for his glory. Through her passing, my faith just got stronger. My love for the Lord went through a patch that, it was amazing. But my love for the Lord just got, the strength was unbelievable. Out of a loss and out of a death, you find the strength, and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ just got so real. I don't know how else to say it. It just got real. If it wasn't real before, and the things that God showed me and the things that we went through, there's no way I can deny the Lord. He is there, he's with us, and he is a real thing, you know. Without him, I wouldn't be here, that's the fact.
No, that's true. Absolutely, 100%. Even though, I mean, Robin talked about the miracle, and there are miracles. We do hear of testimonies and miracles of people being healed of cancer. Faith's journey was different, but don't ever think for one minute that God isn't in it, because he was. Every single step. He showed me, as I was caring for Faith, how much he was caring for me. You know, there's so many times he would just say, listen to the birds of the air. If I feed them, how much more am I caring for you? There was a scripture in Zephaniah where it talks about that he sings over us. You know, and I thought, the Lord, my God, is singing over me. I just broke, and I just, you know, you mop it all up. You just think, God, I am that. Am I that special to you? And you think, you know, if you love Faith that much, how much more do I love you? I mean, he was such a, these are treasure moments. These are my treasures in heaven. You store them up. You cannot. People can't tell you this. You just have to receive it as revelation for yourself. So we saw many miracles along the way. And, you know, so Faith taught us a lot, but the Lord taught us so much more about trusting in him, that he works all things together for good, for those that love him and that accord according to his purpose. We all have a purpose. We've all got a calling on our life, you know, and it's just like trust in him. He'll do it.
Thanks, Bev. Most people won't know what your profession was. Bev was a midwife. So can you imagine seeing babies born and sometimes seeing babies die, having to live with that every day? That was a challenge, wasn't it? It would
Huge.
Have brought up all kinds of emotions.
Yeah.
During that time.
We went to many bereavement weekends, didn't we? And we met many people, but a lot of people said that they changed professions. But I was a midwife, and I'd wanted to be a midwife since I knew not, you know, 21 probably. So this was my whole life. To give up that, I didn't know what else to do, and so I stayed. I stayed for another 13 years. I've literally just come out of the profession, really, last few weeks. But it was tough, and every day I went in, I did not go back onto the delivery suite because I thought, I can't not put myself in a position where I'm not caring for somebody that's going through a heartache. But I didn't feel like I was the best person. I always wanted to be a bereavement midwife. And it was always in me to do that, and I was pursuing it. But when I lost faith, the depth of grief was so deep that I had to take myself away and protect my own heart, because you do cry. Mm. We do cry, don't we? And we just, he'd ring me from his lorry in absolute bits and floods, and it's just I'm having a moment. God had touched his heart. And professions are important. Do you want to add?
No.
I said earlier that sometimes just because we're Christians doesn't mean to say life's easy. Mm. In fact, it's darn hard. But the difference is you had Jesus. Mm. And this isn't a blasé statement. I know for myself, if I didn't have Jesus in my life, I might not be here today. Things that I faced. Could you give maybe one example that somebody might be struggling right now with a really difficult circumstance? A thing you could encourage them, a word you could encourage them, maybe an example. And Bev, maybe you could think of one. Of somebody that it might not be the loss of their child, but it might be a loss of a loved one. It might be a loss that they've lost a job or they've lost a house. It's a sense of loss, a sense of bereavement. Could you give some kind of encouragement, something that might help somebody today?
Mm. Christian or non-Christian, you know what? Life is tough. There's nothing going to hit us as hard as life. It really is, you know. Being a Christian, you know, the Lord says, you know, in this life we're going to have trials and tribulations. Some are going to have more pain than others, but you know, we all suffer, we all go through some kind of heartache and pain in this life. You know, the Lord did, we will. But the Lord, you know, my encouragement is, you know, we don't walk it on our own. The cross means so much more if you allow your Saviour, Jesus Christ, to show you what it really means on a personal level to you. He's bore your pain. It doesn't mean to say that we won't feel it. It doesn't mean to say that we can just walk with their head stuck in the sand. It doesn't mean that. It means that we can walk with him. He carries it for us. He's bore the pain for us. Like I say, you know, in this world, he says we will have, you know, trials and tribulation. But if you don't know Jesus, you know what? I encourage you to allow the Lord to show you what the cross really means for us. Without him in my life, without him calling me and asking the Lord into my life, I just wouldn't be here, you know. I used to find being a Christian the hardest thing that I've ever done, to keep my eye on him, to continually read his word. That is how we have a relationship with Jesus. It's his word, you know, and we struggle with the hardest thing sometimes is to read his word, because the enemy doesn't want us to be there, you know, because this is how we grow in God, is allowing the Lord to show you in his word. It's life-changing. It will change your life. It will carry you through the toughest times in your life. And As Robin said, you know, if you're a Christian and you have not gone through any pain or life is brilliant, please write a book, because we'd all read it, you know. But Jesus will carry you 100%.
Amen. He's an evangelist. My whole testimony really has been about loss. You know, I became a Christian, and within 9 months, I had a marriage that broke down, and it was the loss of a relationship. And then I had to go back to, who am I? You know, but the Lord will always give you something through a loss of something. At the moment, I'm going through a life change, you know, a life transitional change, going from a job that I've loved. What am I going to do next? This is a loss of something, but we're stepping into something new. And God will always give you something to hang on to. So when before I knew that I was going to have a marriage loss, He gave me a scripture of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. And that is something I held on to, because I thought I had a future. I thought I had something, you know, and everything's now gone and I don't know what I am and who I am. And I mean, that was just the beginning. In my job as a midwife, within the first year of training, I was looking after a lady who'd had a stillbirth, and I didn't know how to cope. And I thought, I've never lost like that. How can I care for somebody who's going through such tragedy? And the Lord said, have you never lost? And I thought, no. And He said, have you never lost a marriage? And I paralleled my loss and my grief through that, having to process somebody who'd had a stillbirth. And He saw me through that. So He will always give you something in His word, a treasure, all these treasures stored up in heaven, just to bring you to a place of hope.
Thank you so much. You know, you've been a real blessing to us today. Thank you so much for sharing. Is there anything else you want to add before we finish?
You know, in the book of Revelation, it talks that obviously it's God revealing to John probably a future for mankind. And, you know, it's a hard book to read, but it's a beautiful book to read. I also want to tell you, when we lose somebody, mum, dad, daughter, son, people who have gone before their time, they're in heaven, and Bible and the Lord reassures me, you know, that, you know, we will see them again. Probably not in the same probably way that we are physically here now, but my hope and what keeps me walking forward in this life and getting up every day and is the fact that I am going to live for eternity and see her again. We're going to see her dad again. We're going to see her mom again. We're going to see those that we loved and live for eternity. I don't fully know how the picture really looks to everybody, what heaven looks like, but, you know, as Paul says, you know, for him to die is to gain. I mean, you can get your head around that, you know. It's not that I want to die. I want to do stuff while I'm on this earth. I want to help people. I love people. I love you guys. I'll have a job to do, a work to do. But believe me, I'm looking forward to going and being with my maker.
Not yet. It's got things to do yet, firstly. Not yet.
In His timing. Yes, the moment, I mean, this is probably sad for some, but the moment faith took her last breath, I had a joy that was in me that was just exploded. Yes, her breath left her body and I knew that she'd gone. But half an hour before, I'd said to her, why don't you go and have a word with Jesus and see what He says? I mean, I could have lived in looking after her forever, but she chose to go. And at that moment, He gave me this vision of her running through this huge field of daisies. And I knew that she was running to Jesus. She never looked back. She was always a little girl to look back, and it was all mommy's reassurance, go, go, go. But she never looked back, and I thought, she's going to Jesus. And when people would come around, I said, please, she's alive, you know, but it wasn't her body, it was her spirit. I knew she was alive, and I knew, and everything within me knows heaven is real. I can't give you that. I can only tell you, but I know it in my heart of that heaven is real and it's a place that we're all going to be. And there was a testimony that the Lord said, why are you mithering? I wanted to go and see a little garden. Why are you mithering? And, you know, he said, do you not know that in the blink of an eye that we'll all be together? And I was so shutting my eyes, wanting to be those my eyes. But then I saw the Lord's eye just shut and open, and I thought, ah, that's your eyes. So when he shuts his eyes, and it'll be as though we've never been apart.
Amen.
It's such a blessed hope that he's given me. Mm. And if you know, if you can take that, that's great.
Thank you so much. Can we give them a round of applause for sharing? Josh, can you come and join me for a minute? Thank you. Would you raise your hands towards this precious couple? Father, we want to pray blessing upon them today.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, they've shared. It's not easy to share. But Lord, on that journey, you've always been with them. You've made a promise you'll never leave or forsake us. And you haven't. Mm. Lord, there's been times we haven't felt you there, but you've still been there. And you've still been with us. And Lord, we pray for this season of their life. It will be a season where they know you as they've never known you before. A much closer walk. And that, Lord, you would give them the desires of the heart. And Leah, over you, I pray God's direction and leading now. I pray, Lord, you'd speak clear and loud. You'd surround them both again with your arms of love. And Lord, you would help them as they help so many people, that many people will be helped on their journey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Round of applause again. Thank you. So, we've shared that testimony because I know we're living in a time where so many people feel loss. We could pretend as Christians everything's wonderful. We could have the nice Christian smile. Isn't life wonderful? And at times it's not. It's not. It's rubbish. The difference is, on our walk, we walk with Jesus. And Jesus walks with us. We're going to pray for some people that are sick in a minute. But before we do so, we're going to pray for you. You might be at home. You might be in the room that is feeling loss. You might be lost, or you might be feeling loss for whatever reason. And I'm going to ask you to respond in the room by standing where you are, and at home to stand. This is not to embarrass you. If you're joining with us today, you're visiting, you might think, should I do that? Listen, this is an opportunity, a divine appointment with God in you. And I don't want to move on from this part of this service today. If you're feeling lost about something, if you're feeling something's not right, you can be a Christian and still be feeling that there's a hole, something missing. It's okay to feel like that. But we want to invite God now to meet you. It might be today that you're not a Christian. You might be in this room, you don't follow Jesus. You don't know him as your personal saviour. You might think, I've got nothing to live for. Can I tell you? You've got everything to live for. Because Jesus gives you hope today, for the rest of your life on this earth, and for eternity. But life is about choices. You either accept him and carry on the way things are, and I'll tell you, it'll never get better. It won't. Even with the best counselling, without Jesus, you'll never fill a God-shaped hole that God created in your life that only he can fill. It's a bit like having a jigsaw puzzle with pieces missing. The only way it will be whole if that piece is put in the right piece, and that right piece is God and Jesus Christ. And when I tell you, he's my best friend. I talk about Jesus every time. I love Jesus because he's my best friend. He never lets me down. He never has. He never will. Even this side of eternity and for eternity, he will never let me down. And you know what? He won't let you down. He doesn't promise life will be easy. He doesn't. the cross showed when Jesus died in him, life was not easy. But here's your answer. I'm not a salesman, but I'll guarantee one thing in your life. Jesus is your answer. What you do with Jesus will make the difference. So I'm going to invite you in this room, if you feel that you have loss and you want the Lord to touch you, or if you want to give your life to Jesus, would you stand in the room now? Don't be embarrassed. This is not to embarrass anyone. If you're at home, maybe you want to do that right now. Then we're going to pray for you. If you're giving your life to Jesus for the first time today and you're in the room, come and talk. If you're online, there is people right now on the chat, on our Oasis chat. They will pray with you. If you're watching through YouTube, you can connect with me, robin@oasisregister.church. After this service, I will come back to you straight after this service and we will connect with you, or myself or Esther or one of the team or Josh will do that. Father, okay, rest of the church, would you raise your hands towards these precious people? Father, I pray first of all that they would know how much they are loved today by you. That, Father, they are your daughter, your son, your family. Lord, you fight for your family. You intercede for your family. You make a way where it's impossible. Whereas at the back, where it feels like the enemy is coming in front, there is a sea and there's no way forward. Lord, you part the waters and you make people walk past on dry ground. And Father, I pray for the grief and pain and loss that they're feeling now. I ask in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, that Holy Spirit, you would come right now and you would minister your peace. And there'd be a divine supernatural strength. And Lord, you would do a divine exchange of the pain with your love. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Father, for revelation of mind, that they would see how much you love them and how precious they are. And I ask, Lord, you minister your grace and your mercy and your love right now into every broken heart that feels lost. Lord, we can't make it right, but you can. So, Lord, would you do the miracle that only you can do at this time? In Jesus' name. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to bless you today and say thank you for standing. But you know, sometimes when I've struggled, I go to a place where I go, I'm going to stand now and trust God. I find my own place. And maybe you need to find your own place where you can just go and just stand and say, I'm standing on your promises, Jesus. Is anybody in this room just show me giving their life to Jesus today, for the fool wants to give their life to Jesus? Just raise your hands. If you're at home, connect now. Thank you. Does anybody else need a prayer, want us to pray for anything? If you want to stand for anything, if you're sick, Jane is going to pray for you now. If you're sick and you need prayer for anything, would you stand in the room for anything else that's other than what we've asked for? Well, we can thank God that Joanne hopefully is going to be coming home. Thank you. We'll pray for you. And Joanne's coming home hopefully tomorrow. And Jeanette is coming home hopefully tomorrow as well. So that'll be good. And we need people to visit them both. We're going to need help. We'll explain why. Jane, do you want to just pray for this lady?
Yeah, I will do. Father, I just thank you for the lady that's just stood. Lord, you know everything. Lord, Psalm 139 says that your thoughts towards us are vast, far beyond what we can comprehend. So, Father, I know that you think of this lady. Lord, you are mindful of her. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, that is ailing her right now, Father, that you would just pinpoint it and touch it and bring healing, Father. If there's a way forward that's needed, Father, would you open up the way, Father, with treatments or whatever it is, Father? Lord, I ask for your hand to be upon her life now and for her to receive her healing and know it's from you, Lord. Lord, that she give testimony. So, Father, I pray for your blessing upon her now. In fact, I say, in the name of Jesus, be blessed and healed. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus and that by his stripes we are healed. So, Father, Lord, I just pray for that healing that comes from you. Lord, your heart of love that's towards that lady right now. Lord, I don't know her name, but Lord, you know her. You know her by name. So, Father, I ask for your blessing and for your healing upon her life. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for the authority that you have given each one of us, Lord, who believe in you, through the name Jesus Christ. So, Father, Lord, in that authority I stand and I declare healing over that lady. And, Father, I thank you. Lord, I come with a heart of thanksgiving this morning, Lord, because of the healing that we've seen. And, Lord, and because of the testimonies that have been given, Lord, that you are with us in everything, whatever life throws at us, whether people are healed or not, Lord, we know that you are with us. So thank you for that, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that at a time of crisis for Joanne, Lord, when we thought that she was going to be taken from us, Father, you turned things around and you brought life back. Lord, when the breath was coming out of her body, Lord, you put a breath back into her body. So, Father, I want to thank you for that. And, Lord, for Jeanette, Lord, I want to thank you for the healing that Jeanette has had from COVID. But, Lord, we know that they still need things. We thank you that they're coming home. And, Lord, we thank you for the care that they're going to be receiving. But, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they would not only just receive that physical care, Father, but they would know that you are with them. And, Lord, they would find strength in knowing that, Lord. And, Father, Lord, we remember Graham too, Lord. We ask, Father, that he too would know that blessing that comes from you. We ask for his healing in Jesus' name. Lord, you know all the complications. You know all the health issues. We ask, Father, that your hand too would continue to be in him and on him. And Lord, we thank you for his testimony and we thank you for his encouragement and his faith, Lord, that he continually prays for other people, Lord, and he continually gives words of encouragement. So, Father, bless him. Lord, we ask that you bless him with good health. And again, Father, I want to praise and thank you, Lord, for the good news of Zolshia, Lord. You are a good God. Lord, whether we live or die, you are a good God, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We pray for Mike Baker as well.
Yeah.
We pray he'll be well in Jesus' name and that cancer will come to an end in his body. We pray for Kathy with COVID, Emmanuel's wife Annie with COVID, Martin with COVID. We pray that they will be well in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Brian, are you making your way down here for a reason?
Yes, I've been asked to read someone else.
Okay, come on then. We're going to read the testimony for somebody else. Okay. Can you give... Oh. Worship team, could you come up? Great, thank you.
Good morning. Privileged to bring this testimony for our brother Darren at the back. I've got to know him down the tip, and he's asked me to read this. I was working as chef in the local cafe that was shut a few times by the COVID pandemic. Things were financially difficult. The boss of the cafe decided it would be prudent for him to give the business up and to sell it on. He did, however, give me the opportunity to work as a chef as one of his colleagues. I took up the offer and worked in a couple of cafes in the shopping centre. I woke very early one morning in May 2021 after dreaming about stock levels. I just thought to myself an internal prayer. I really can't be doing this anymore. Waking at 3 in the morning, thinking, have I got enough bacon? Have you ever got enough bacon? Please, God, give me a job that I have done in the past. I want to work outside while I am in charge of a yard. I was walking to work when I decided I could not do this anymore. I texted my employer and told him I would not be working for him anymore. I did get a few abusive texts back, but that did not affect me too much as I had my mind made up. I returned home wondering what I was going to do for employment. I sat and looked to the sky, asking for something to be available to me. An hour after I resigned, I received an email from an agency that I'd put out of my mind because it had been a year since I had signed up with them. It was an offer of a position in the recycling centre as an assistant. I went for the interview and was to start the next day. I still loved the job. I'm grateful to the support of the OCC members that have visited the TIP. The TIP, it doesn't mean Villa Park, although I can understand the mistake. It means the TIP down to Woodrow.
Reclamation.
My prayers are answered. I prayed every day to our Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit for the well-being of everybody I know to ask for my way ahead. Therefore, I believe. The testimony of Darren Wrigley Furnival. From every nation, from every tongue, from every path of life, trophies of the grace of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I'd like us to have more time.